Any who are visiting with us tonight, certainly, as Brother Henry has already said, we are grateful that you're here and trust that all of us will be benefited by our time together tonight as we offer this service unto our Heavenly Father. Tonight, because of what we'll do after the service, I want to use a lesson tonight that will encourage all of us, and even more specifically, encourage those who have graduated either from school, high school, or from a college or university. I want to say to you that life doesn't stop after graduation. As a matter of fact, it really just begins. Because before then, you know, you were in the security, if you will, of mom and dad or those who were attending to your needs. Of course, you'll still be in their security, but you're growing up now, and you're going to be introduced to real life. So it actually, in a sense, it just begins after you graduate. But because God has blessed you and has blessed us, but because he has blessed you to reach this point in your life, you ought to just feel compelled to be the best that you can in thanking him and in honoring him with your life for all that he has done for you up until now. I remember the sweet singer of Israel by the name of David, who said in Psalms 116, beginning at verse number 12, he says this: "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." David was saying that God has been so good to me. Surely that must be something I can do for him. God has been so good to you, graduates. God has been so good to all of us. Surely that must be something we can do for him, to show our appreciation, to honor him for all that he has done and all that he is doing and for all that he will do in our lives. I would like to suggest to you tonight that you ought to set some worthwhile goals now that you've graduated. Now that you are beginning to really step out into life, set some worthwhile goals. And these goals, all of these goals that I'll talk about tonight, perhaps you may have heard them in one shape, form, or fashion before, but all of these goals are attainable. You know, sometimes we can set goals and milestones for ourselves, and we may not be able to reach them. But all of these are reachable. It takes dedication on our part, on your part. It takes commitment. It takes really wanting to get there. You know, we basically can do almost anything we want to do, that is, anything within our power. So if we really want to do it, if I can use this term, bad enough, we can do it. And if our intention is getting to heaven, we ought to really want to do it. And all of these goals that I want you to set for yourself tonight, it has to do with getting to heaven. When it's all said and done, You can accomplish everything that you want to accomplish in life if you and if we miss heaven. It's all for nothing. So I would like to encourage you to commit yourself to accomplish these goals that we'll talk about tonight. We're going to talk about four things tonight, very briefly. One of your goals ought to be that you will continue to seek the Lord. Continue to seek the Lord. He's brought you thus far, and if you're going to go one step further, it's going to be because of Him. So there's no need to stop seeking Him, but you need to continue. We need to continue to seek the Lord. Never, 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 ever forget to continue to make Him first place in your life. The scripture still says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of what? God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. We need to be a people that will continually seek the Lord first in our lives. Make knowing the Lord the major goal in our lives. I say make knowing the Lord. I didn't say make knowing about the Lord. I say make knowing the Lord the number one goal in your life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was, if you will, giving us a little bit of his resume. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 7 beginning, he says, but what things, he had talked about all of the things that that had been a part of his life. And then he says, but what things, he says, were gain to me, those things, he says, I counted loss for Christ. And he continues to say in the next verse, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count, he says, them but dung, that I may win Christ. And then he goes on and he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, and be found in him by faith, righteous of God by faith. And then the next verse says this, that I may know him. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know God. I want to know Christ, he says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We need to know the Lord. And the only way that we can truly know the Lord is to seek Him and to put Him first in our lives, that we might come to know who He really is. And the Bible says that when we seek Him, then we will be blessed. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. He says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And then he says, blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. And that's why, again, it's necessary to put him first in our lives. Dedicate our whole heart to the Lord. Seek him with the whole heart. And he says, we'll be what? Blessed. Blessed are they, he says, that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. Blessings will come our way. And as we've just sung the song, Jesus will make everything all right, or make it all right. Jesus will make it all right. God will make it all right. God will bless us. God will take care of us. And ultimately, God will save us if we seek him with our whole heart. So your number one goal ought to be to continue to seek the Lord. And then in Psalms 9 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that what? Seek thee." God will not forsake us if we seek him. An interesting statement was made that I read about a medical doctor. And is Dr. Parks in the house? She may not be here, but a medical doctor made this statement. It was said back in the early 90s, and he wrote this in his diary. His name was Dr. Howard Kelly, a world-famed surgeon and gynecologist. He says, "I dedicate myself, my time, my capabilities, my ambition, everything to him." And then he says this, "Blessed Lord, sanctify me to thy use. Give me no worldly success which may not lead me nearer to my Savior." Is that a powerful statement? He says that if anything I accomplish in this life, because I am a surgeon, if it doesn't lead me closer to the Savior, I don't want it. That's powerful. That sounds like a man. I don't know whether he was a true Christian or not. The piece didn't say, but that sounds like a man who really has his head where it ought to be, his heart where it ought to be. And certainly that ought to be our heart's desire tonight. A lot of people say, "Yes, I've gone to school and I've graduated and I've got my BS and I've got my master's and I got my PhD and I'm just waiting now for the get that number one position and career that I've been anticipating all my life, and I really want to become this and become that." And sometimes you become this and you become that, but whatever you become, sometimes it will lead you away from the Savior and not closer to it. But I would challenge you tonight to have the same attitude that this doctor had. Whatever you become in life, use that to draw you closer to the Lord. What a statement by this doctor. So number one, your goal ought to be to continue to seek the Lord. And then you ought to have this goal, to continue your education, both academically and spiritually. Now, you may not do it formally, that is the academics of it. You may do it informally. I'm not saying that everybody got to get a PhD. That'd be good if everybody did have one. But you may choose to be satisfied with the career that you have without going any further academically in a formal sense. But our education should never stop. There is still so much to learn whether you ever go to another school or not. And especially about life itself, there is so much to learn about life. So read. And even the experiences in life, allow that to teach you some things. Teach you even if what you shouldn't do, and teach you what you should do. Now, lessons that you can learn from life. So continue then. Don't just say, "Well, I got all the," if somebody said, "I got all the book sense I need, so I don't need anything else." We need to keep on learning. Keep on moving farther. And one thing you learn, I'll say this about life, that one thing you learn about life is that life is not fair. And all of us need to always remember that life is not fair. Again, as I said earlier, that life will deal us some things. And we might say, well, I'm a child of God. Why do all of these things come my way that are so negative? Life isn't fair. The reason why life isn't fair is because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Life will never be fair as long as we live in it. We're going to always be dealing with some things that just don't seem to be right. We can do everything by the numbers and we're going to still have troubles and challenges. And our life isn't fair. And we need to learn that. But more importantly, we need to, if you will, continue to educate ourselves in the Word of God so that we will continue to grow spiritually. Paul said this to the Philippian Christian in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press, the next verse says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he was saying? Is that I'm going to keep on going forward. And in order for us to keep going forward spiritually, we got to keep going forward in his word, keep studying his word so that we'll know more and more of what his will is so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. As we talked about being conformed to the image of Christ this morning, we're going to have to know more and more of the word of God. So make it your goal to continue to go forward in your education and your learning of the scriptures. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, Paul said this. If we can flash that up there. He says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he says, but continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What is he talking about? He's talking about continue in the scriptures that you've learned. Continue learning them and continue doing them. And then he says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So Paul says we need to continue our spiritual pursuit. Because again, we can gain everything that we want to gain, set out to gain, but if we miss eternal life, it's all for nothing. Goal number 3. We talked about this to some degree this morning, but let me hit it again. Be a blessing. Make it one of your goals to be a blessing to somebody else. God didn't bless us with all of this education that we have. God didn't bless us with all the blessings that he gives us. For us to hoard all of that for ourselves. But he blesses us so that we can bless somebody else. So make that one of your goals. Be a blessing to somebody else. Remember again, it's not all about us. But it's about other folks. And one way that we can truly bless people is to love them. Jesus said when he answered the question that the man asked him about what is the greatest law, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And thou shalt, the second one he says is like unto the, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We can bless others by loving them, being kind to them, being good to them. Serving them. But if we take all of what God has blessed us and shower it all on ourselves and for ourselves, we have missed what the Lord wants us to do. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, look at what he says. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, he says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's about other folks. It's not all about us. God wants us to be concerned about other folks and serve other folks. Isn't that what Jesus, he didn't come to serve himself, but he came to serve us. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Galatia, he said this. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, he said, let us do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. We ought to be about doing good. Sometimes people say, well, they could do the same thing I did and get mine, and they wouldn't have to worry about me helping them and doing good to them. That's not the right attitude for us to have. Because again, life is not fair. They may have run upon one of those unfair things in life that couldn't get them to where the point in life that God blessed us to get to. So we need to be about doing good. Again, it's more blessed to give, the Bible says, than to receive. And then lastly, goal number 4. Engage, get this now, in honorable work so that you can benefit society and aid in the work of the Lord. As one of the speakers said this weekend, that when we think about getting a job, that we ought not think about, he may not have said it exactly this, but ought not think about the job so much in terms of the money that we make from it, or even the satisfaction that it brings to us. But think of the job in terms of how can I benefit the work of the Lord, or what can I do for the Lord in this capacity? How will this job aid me and help me to do the work of the Lord? Because that's what it's all about, is doing the work of the Lord. Oftentimes, people may end up with a job that may hinder them from doing the work of the Lord. Maybe a good job, may pay a lot of money, may even be a prestigious job, but if it hinders you from doing the work of the Lord, you don't need that job. But again, engage in honorable work, so that you can benefit society and aid in the work of the Lord. God is not pleased with people who don't want to work. So much so that Paul even said if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. The love of God. God loves us. And God has given us his word to, again, order our steps. And he wants us to be people that will be devoted to work. And we are devoted to work so that we can help somebody else. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse chapter 4 rather and verse 28, Paul said, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to do what? Give to him that needeth. That's what the lesson this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, was all about. Paul was ordering those Christians, if you will, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to be able to give to those that had need. That's one of the reasons why we work. We work to take care of our families, yes. But we also work so that we can help somebody else. Again, it's not all about us. So we need to be a people that are devoted to honorable work. Any job that is honorable, don't be afraid to take it. There are some jobs that are not honorable. But we need to work the thing that's good. And when the Lord blesses us then with the job, then we become obligated to give back to the Lord. Why? Because then the Lord has prospered us. And isn't that what 1 Corinthians 16 says? Upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by in store, as God has prospered him. And so when we are able to work and when we are able to have income, that's God prospering us. Therefore, we become obligated to give back to the Lord. So all of that money that you're going to make, once you get into the real world and start working, is not all for you. God wants you to give some back to him for his work. Engage in honorable work so that you can be a benefit to society and aid in the work of the Lord. We're members of the body of Christ. Therefore, we have a responsibility to support the work of the Lord. And so then, may God help us to grow and to grow up to be and help you, graduates, to grow up to be a great asset to the kingdom of Christ. Whatever you become, or whatever path you pursue, always consider how this, as I've already said, can help you be a better servant for Christ and help you to work for the Lord. Set these goals for you, for yourself. They are achievable. Every one of them are achievable. Let no one say, or let no one tell you, that you can't do it. You can do it. And the reason why I say you can do it and we can do it is because all of those are goals that are found in the scriptures, and they would never be there if we couldn't do it. God will never instruct us to be something or to do something knowing all the time we couldn't do it. Thank God that he didn't give us something too hard to do. After all, the Bible says this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says that. And his commandments are not grievous. In other words, we can do it if we want to. Life after graduation. Welcome to life, graduates. And as all of us walk down through life, let us so live that God will be pleased with us. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that ought to be your immediate goal, is to obey the Lord. Let him add you to his church, and then live a faithful life. You do that by hearing and believing the gospel, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and then being buried in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to the church. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but maybe some of those things that I've talked about tonight, that they're going lacking in your life, I would encourage you to rededicate yourself, to get your heart right, so that you can again seek God with the whole heart, and God will bless you. We can't half-heartedly serve God. It's got to be with the whole heart. So if there's anything that's amiss in your life tonight, why not get rid of it, and you do it by repentance. And if you need to confess before us tonight, or maybe you just need prayer, whatever your need is, we want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand.
Longer to linger, charmed by the world delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my soul.
Is that one that will come tonight? Will you come?
Yeah. Haste on, haste on to him. Hasten so glad and free, hasten glad and free, Jesus, Jesus, great high, yes, I will come to thee.